exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Today we're in part two of this series, Detox. And today's focus and today's message, I think really is going to kind of hit us at the heart. It's going to hit us at the heart. And the reason why is because today what we're going to be talking about is your heart. And I'm not talking about the physical heart, like the boom, boom heart. I'm talking about your character. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about the center of who you are, your person and personhood, your will, your the inner person of you. And that's what we're going to really be aiming for today. And I pray that God would use this to convict our hearts, but then at the same time to compel us to move forward into what God has called us to do. And so if you've been a part of a church, have any type of church background, you may have heard this scripture that I'm getting ready to read to you guys. It comes out of Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 through 6, and if you were around like during Sunday school years, maybe your Sunday school class or teacher made you remember this. This was kind of like always one of my favorite scriptures. I say that every week, but it's true. This was like one of my favorites growing up. I would memorize it. I like had it tattooed. No, I didn't. But I had it tattooed on my heart. But it was one of my favorite scriptures because I really believe that it just communicated the whole, really what our lives should look like. And this is what it says. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Or some of your translations may say, and he will direct your path. Amazing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. And so if you're taking notes, and we've actually provided an area on your worship guide on the back for notes, and if you're taking notes and if you want to know the name of this message, I'm just calling this the detoxed heart. The detoxed heart. Tell the person beside you, it's time to detox your heart. It's weird because you may not know them. Look at the other person that you may know and say, it's time for you to detox your heart. Yeah, need a detoxed heart. Now, it's interesting because as we talk about this whole aspect of detox just simply means like to remove toxic substances from a living organism. And that's what detox means, just in a simple working definition. It's the removal of something that is toxic to us. And as you think about that from a physical standpoint, that can mean a lot of things, right? Like putting things in my body that could be toxic or things that aren't good for me. And even if we kind of move away from the physical and talk more practical or more life application, that could be people in our lives. That could be relationships. That certain people in relationships can be toxic. Here's an example of a toxic relationship where it's built around nothing but negativity, that even the most loving thing comes out as negative. That's a toxic relationship. Or if it's a toxic thought, what is a toxic thought? A toxic thought is anything that brings not glory to God, but really kind of brings shame to you. So instead of you looking at a mistake that you made, you don't look at it from the aspect of, I made a mistake, but the toxic thought says that you are the mistake. And God is saying, I want to detox some areas in your life. Like, before we can get to the rest of this year, and before God is saying, like, I want to do things in your life that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, it's going to start with you undergoing a detox. Because you've been carrying around some stuff in your life and in your heart in particular for years. And they've been taking up residence. And you know what? It's time for them to get an eviction notice. Not a two-week notice, like, hey, in 2 weeks, you got to get up on it. No, today. Like, it's time for it to leave today. And by the grace of God, and by the power of God, by the presence of God, it can leave today. In other words, you can walk out of these doors today being a new person. Scripture says it like this. Any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. But part of the reason why we never experience the new is because we are still hung up on the old. Like, part of the reason why we don't experience the power of God, the favor of God like never before in our life is because we're still holding on to the old. Part of the reason why you can't like enter into the new or the godly relationship that God wants you to have is because you're still holding on to that toxic relationship from the past. And God is saying, I'm not going to give you the new until you learn how to release the old. Like, if I've made you new, and if you're a follower of Jesus, that means you've been made into a new creature. If I've made you new, and I'm not holding the old things against you, then why are you holding them against yourselves? Like, why are you still looking at yourself from the lens of who you were 10 years ago when God has made you into a new person? Like, why are you still holding that guilt against you when Jesus got on the cross and took your guilt upon himself? Like, why are we still holding on to this stuff? Because naturally, as fallen creatures in need of a Savior, what we naturally do is we gravitate to the sinfulness. We gravitate to the fallenness. We gravitate to the negativity. That's why, like, when you watch the news, like, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but very rarely on the news is there ever good news. Like, my wife, she's in sales and in marketing, works for a newspaper. One of the things that they always say is that if it bleeds, it leads, right? Like, if it's a tragic story, you better believe it's going to make the front page. Like, how often do you hear stories about, you know, the acts of kindness that happen all throughout society? You don't hear that. You don't see that on television. It's not being promoted. Or if you do, it's like a quick 10-second infomercial. And then they just move to more bad news. And the more you digest that, the more toxic you become. And what I want to encourage us to do today is to not feast on the bad news of the world, but to focus and feast on the good news of Jesus. That's a great place to clap your hands. Y'all don't know when to clap. That's crazy. I'm trying to help y'all. Like, I'm trying to help us as a church. That, like, I'm not afraid by you, like, actually talking to me during the message. Like I grew up Baptist. That's all we did. Just want you to know. Some of us just didn't get Baptist. What? What does that mean? Don't worry about it. I'll talk about it later. But God wants to do new things in us. And it has everything to do with us clinging to not the bad news of this world, but the good news of God, the good news of the gospel. And that's what God wants to do in our hearts. So as we're in this season of praying and fasting, I believe that God wants to reveal his supernatural will for your life. I believe that God wants to speak to you things that will absolutely blow your minds. But I believe God also wants to show us what's consuming your life, or in particular, what's consuming your heart. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. But that's what this season is about. Like we get it's easy to get excited about, God, show me what your plans are for me. Yes, I can't wait. I want to be the head and not the tail, all this good stuff, and that's great. But we never want to have like the tough convo with God where we ask God, God, show me the things in my life that are hindrances. Show me the things in my life that are toxic. Because in him showing us the things that may be toxic, the things that you may have been calling pure, in all actuality, as he shows them to you, they may have really been in fact impure. Like the person that you called your best friend is probably the worst person that you could be connected to. If they're not following Jesus, if they're not feasting on the good news, like if they're not consumed by his grace, if they're not consumed by his love, that person can be toxic. And so I want to talk about what's consuming your heart today. I want to talk about what's in your heart, what's on your heart, what is your heart fixed on, what is your heart focused on. Because when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not talking about like the physical heart. Like when God speaks of the heart in the Bible, he's talking about the countenance of who a person is. It's talking about, as one writer says, the seat of our desires, our passions, our feelings, our affections, our impulses. It's essentially the core of who we are. That's what the Bible talks about and means when it says the heart of a person. Not the physical, but the spiritual, the inward. And I oftentimes we don't like spend a lot of time looking inwardly. We're a culture and we're people that spend so much time focusing on the outward. Right? One of the things that God said to this guy by the name of Samuel, who was one of the big deal prophets in the Old Testament, when God called Samuel to go anoint a new king to lead God's people in the Old Testament, one of the things that God said was that I look at the heart even though mankind looks at the outward appearance. So he says, man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. In our society, what we're consumed by is what we see, not by what we don't see. Like when you think about people getting hired on a job, like people don't get hired on the job because they have the good character. People oftentimes get hired on the job because they have like all the credentials. And at the end of the day, character is what will take you further than gifts, than talents, than abilities, than what you see on the external. Give me a person who's not that talented, but has the character of Christ, and I guarantee you God will do amazing things through their life. See, the world has it backwards. The world says, focus on the external things. Right? So they kind of convince us that you got to look a certain way and that you got to dress a certain way. And God's like, I'm not concerned about any of that. I'm concerned about your heart. I'm concerned about who you really are. Because the person that nobody sees, that you, like the person that you're in private, the person that nobody really sees, that is the real you. And that's a reflection of your heart. So like we could put up fronts and we could put up like smoke screens and put on a great, you know, like facade in front of people. But the real person is the one that nobody sees. The real person is the one who on the surface looks like they have it all together, but behind the scenes, man, your life is falling apart. The person that nobody sees. A Christian writer by the name of Dallas Willard, in his book, Renovation of the Heart, one of the things that one of my seminary professors had us do was to read a book by the name of Renovation of the Heart by this guy named Dallas Willard. Amazing book. I would encourage you guys to read that book. It's an amazing book. But one of the things that he says in this book, it's a very short liner, and it says, he says in his book, and it's like first line of the first chapter, he says, we live from our heart. We live from our hearts. Because once again, what is a heart? It's not the physical thing. No, it's the inner person. It's the one who shapes everything else in our lives. Just like the heart, the physical heart is the core of our physical being, that it's from the heart that everything else flows, so it is spiritually. So it is inwardly. And if you and I don't spend time examining what's in our heart or what's on our heart, then your life and my life will begin to reflect the toxic nature that it is. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. I think we have this scripture up here. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. For out of the heart. That's crazy, right? That's what Jesus says. For out of the heart come all of these evil and wicked things. So in other words, when you see somebody commit murder, like it's not the act of murder that's just the problem, but more importantly, it's the heart that's the issue. Which is why when Jesus comes on the scene, he's trying to tell us like, hey, I'm not impressed with behavior modification, because we could change a whole lot of stuff on the outside, but if inwardly we're not made new, then we're going to continue to do these things right here. God is interested in making us into new people. Matter of fact, let me kind of just cut to the chase. If you don't get anything else out of this message, God is interested in giving us a new heart. This is what he said in the book of Ezekiel. He says, you have a heart of stone, for those of us who are far from God, or for those of us who have a hard heart towards God and don't obey God and don't want to follow Jesus. He says, but I want to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. In other words, a heart that's alive. And a heart that's alive in scripture means a heart that is consumed by Jesus. Consumed by the grace of God. Because our hearts reveal who we are, our hearts reveal what drives our lives. So when you begin to look at your life, the external of your life, really what that is a reflection of the internal. Like, it's really a reflection of who you are on the inside. The product of my life is always the result of the posture of my heart. So the output is always the result of the input. It's simple. It's like mathematics. Like it's the inner that leads to the outer. And what society says is work from the outside in. God is like, I want to work from the inside out. Because if we correct the outside will take care of itself. That's what the issue of mankind is all about. That's where sin starts. It starts in the hearts. That's why Jesus says, like, hey, if you've even thought about committing murder, then you've essentially committed a murder. If you've even thought about having adultery and doing something that is against the will of God, you've essentially already done it. Even though you haven't already done it in the physical, you've already done it in your heart. Our heart is the problem. And God says, I want to detox your heart. Like I want us to experience a new beginning and a new heart. All of our external issues are the result of internal brokenness. So as we're on these 21 days of fasting, maybe God's kind of revealed some stuff to you and I that he wants us to undergo. So maybe he's like, hey, I want you to be able to lose weight. Like I want you to be at a healthy place. But that's not an external problem. It's an internal problem. Like if I'm overweight, it's probably because, like, not that I have just like an obesity problem, but because I have a discipline problem. Like, God wants to change us on the inside, because when the inside is changed, it leads to a change on the outside. Does this make sense? That's what God wants to do. So don't focus so much on the outside. Focus more on the inside. What is consuming my heart. Cussing isn't my problem. Man, I got a cussing problem. No, you got a heart problem. Fix the heart, the words will take care of themselves. Fix my heart, and everything else will follow. So here's a good question I want us to ask right now. Where is my heart? Like, as you're kind of thinking about everything that we're sharing right now, where's your heart? Like, what consumes your passions, your desires? What's driving you? How do you make decisions in your life? Like, does money lead to the decisions that you make, or is it the Spirit of God in your life that's leading to the decisions that you make? Right? Like Jesus says, you can't serve both God and money. And so if I'm constantly making decisions based upon what I see, then that tells me what's driving my life. It's not God. It's all these other things in this world. He says, I want to detox your heart. I want to give you a new heart. I don't want you to spend time examining all of these different aspects of your life. So it's great for us to go to a doctor. Like, we go to a doctor to get examined. We go to the doctor to kind of see, to make sure that we are healthy. And one of the first things that the doctor does is do what? Listen to your heartbeats. Take blood samples, right? Because when these things happen, it's from these areas that shape the whole countenance of your life. That's what God wants to do in your life. Like God says, hey, I want to change the outside, but I change the outside by first working through the inside. Like, I want to change the core of who you are on the inside. I want to make you into a new person. Like, I want to start this new path for you. I want to see you become who I've called you to be, but it's all going to start on the inside. So when this guy by the name of Solomon writes this book, or is writing these words to his hearers in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is just really like, it's a book of wisdom. And it represents this book of wisdom being the wisdom of God. So like everything that you see here, in some aspect, you see it fulfilled later on, especially in the life and the ministry of Jesus while he was here on earth. And this scripture in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 really focuses on the heart. And Solomon was considered to be one of the wisest human beings, not just of his time, but that ever lived. Part of that was probably because of the fact that Solomon made a lot of poor decisions. And that's what I love about scripture, because what scripture shows us is a whole lot of fallen people and how God used fallen people to bring forth his will. I love that. Like, he uses fallen people to accomplish amazing things. So even as you're reading scripture, especially like the Old Testament, like a lot of times what we'll do is we'll try to like make all the Bible characters in the Old Testament or in the Bible like very heroic. Here's the bottom line. At the end of the day, they were sinners just like us. The only one who was perfect is Jesus. And was Jesus, which is why Jesus should always be our foundation, not anybody else. If you're looking to, like, let's have faith like David. You want to commit adultery like David too? Man, we should just have the courageous nature of Moses. You ain't gonna talk about Moses' anger problem? Man, we should just have that crazy, like, out of this world faith like Abraham. Abraham lied a lot. So, like, they can't be our foundation. Jesus is our foundation. Matter of fact, like, they were essentially in scripture, they represented types of Jesus until Jesus himself hit the scene 2,000 plus years ago. And so now Jesus becomes the fulfillment of all of these things. And he is the one who makes it possible for us to experience this new heart. And so I love what Solomon says here in Proverbs 3, because under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives us some truths about what a detox heart or what a clean heart looks like. And if you're taking notes, here's point number one, that a detox heart looks like this. Number one, it's devoted fully to the Lord. Let the church say devoted. Come on, everybody say it loud as you can, devoted. One more time, say devoted. That's what the heart that is detox first looks like. It is 100% devoted to God. So in verse 5, this is what he says. Trust in the Lord with what? All of your hearts, right? Not some of my hearts, not 75% of my heart, not 50% of my, no, all of my heart. Now, the reason why that may be problematic for some of us is because what we've done is we've compartmentalized our heart for God. So we'll say, I'll give God some of me, but I won't give him all. Right? Or the flip side, some of us think that we've given God all of our hearts, but as we'll see in a moment, we may not have given him our hearts at all. But here Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. What does it mean to trust in the Lord with all of my heart? It means that my entire being is completely surrendered by faith to God. That's what it means. That He shapes who I am as a person. He shapes the decisions that I make. He shapes everything. He shapes how I relate to people. So here's what Jesus says in the New Testament in Matthew 22. He actually quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 in Matthew 22. He says, the greatest commandment is this. Here's the greatest thing that you and I could ever do as a person. This is why God created us, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And for us theological Bible nerds, when Jesus quoted that from Deuteronomy 6 in Jewish custom, that's oftentimes called the Shema, which was one of the things that Jewish people would always say. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, God is not a God where He's just like, hey, I just want a little bit of you, and that's it. And some of us are like, well, that's selfish. Why is it selfish when God gave His all for us? Like, I think He's in position to be able to say that. Right? Doesn't that kind of make sense? Like, isn't that fair? Isn't that right? Like, He's like, I want you to give all of you to me. Now, some of us are like, well, so does that mean that I'm just praying 24/7 and I don't ever go to work and I just kind of stay in a cave and I just seek the Lord on my face all day long? No. I'm not saying be an idiot. I'm not saying be super spiritual. I'm not talking about that. Once again, that's external stuff, because you could do all of that and still be far from God. What I'm saying is that He is the one who shapes my entire being. And the great thing about it is this. When you hear that scripture, immediately love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. It's easy for us to be able to think that, okay, that's what I got to do. So we go into performance mode. Or we go to this place where it's like, it's all about what I do. No. God tells us this because on our own we can't do it. Like, we don't have the capacity to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, not in our own selves. So here's what scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Powerful scripture. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. But here's what it says. We love, why? Because He first loved us. So, in other words, when you and I receive the love of God by His grace, by believing in His Son Jesus and what He's done for us, we receive His love. And when we receive His love, we receive the capacity to be able to love Him properly and to be able to love others correctly. In other words, you can't do that on your own. Like, the person sitting next to you, if they're not a follower of Jesus, they will never be able to love you properly if they have not loved God. And the only way they can love God is by receiving His love for them. That's why I'm sometimes, like, always leery, like, with relationships, especially, like, when I'm talking to people who, like, are in relationships and, you know, one person may be saved and another person may not, or maybe just be, like, both people who, you know, aren't followers of Jesus. Oh, man, we just love each other. So, like, my theological point in me is, like, y'all don't even know what love is because you don't know who is love. What you have is an artificial representation of love. As I said 2 weeks ago, you have a fruity pebble or a fruity rock type of love. You don't have fruity pebble love. It's not the real thing, right? It's not the frosted flakes love. The real thing is like frosted oats, the stuff that gets soggy real quick. Like, you won't ever know what love is if you don't know who love is. Scripture says that God is love. And if I don't know God, then I don't know what love is. Because He represents the highest. He represents what love truly is. I can only love when I receive God's love given to me through His Son, Jesus Christ. So when Solomon says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, this is what he's getting at. That I receive His love from me, and in return, I am able to devote myself fully to Him. Here's what Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says this in Colossians. Since then you have been raised with Christ. In other words, you believed in Jesus. You believe what He's done for you on the cross. You've received the eternal love of God that has been demonstrated through Christ Jesus. And that means you've been raised to life, a new life with Christ. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your what? Say it one more time. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your heart on things above. Here's a great litmus test question. What is my heart set on right now? Is my heart set more not on the heavenly things or things above, but is my heart set more on things below? Now, I referenced the Cincinnati Bengals-Pittsburgh Steelers game earlier, right? Now, it's tragic. But one of the things that blew my mind yesterday, like I'm watching the game, I usually don't stay up that late on Saturday night, but it was so riveting I had to watch it because I was like, man, I've never seen a team like this self-destruct, and it is amazing but tragic all at the same time, right? But one of the things that I saw at the end of the game, like you had fans that were in the stands and people were in tears. And I'm like, it's a game. Like I could see if y'all were playing it, maybe some tears would be legitimate if you were on the field actually playing the game. But y'all sitting in the stands. And so the question I want to ask is, y'all crying over a football game. Do you cry as much when statistics that you read, like there are 42 million babies that are aborted every year? Do you cry over stuff like that? Huh? Do we cry when we see the massive divorce rate all throughout the country and in the world? Do we cry when we see people who are far from God who are hurting? Like, do we cry over that type of stuff? Or are we really just focused on crying on stuff that's here on earth? A football being thrown up and down the field? Really? I love football, but I don't love it more than Jesus. I love basketball, but not more than Jesus. At the end of the day, my Lakers are terrible. But you know what? My identity is not attached to my Lakers. And for practical purposes, we've won like 16 championships. So it's cool for us to have a few off years. Just in case some of y'all are like, y'all suck this year. Your team has sucked forever. But anyway, I digress. Where is my heart? Is my heart on heavenly things or is it on earthly things? Because a devoted life to God means that I've devoted my life to Jesus. Like I've said, Jesus, as an old song would say, I am sold out for you. I've given you everything. I'm betting it all on you. You have every aspect of my heart. Is your heart divided? Does Jesus have half of your heart and does your job have your other half? Or does your job have all of your heart and Jesus has nothing? Or does Jesus have all of you? God isn't, he's the type of God where he's like, go hard or go home. All or nothing. He's like, I don't want just part of it. Because when I gave my son Jesus, I gave my all. I gave my best for you to show you how much I love you. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how trifling you are. Did you not know that you didn't think I knew how trifling you were going to be when I made you? Like, that's the beauty of my love for you, that my love covers a multitude of sins. So stop like saying that, hey, like God doesn't love me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not true. Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. And God just wants you and I to be in a devoted, committed relationship to the Lord. The only one who should consume my heart should be the Lord. Earthly relationships can't take the place of an eternal relationship with King Jesus. Can't. They will let you down every time. And many of us have experienced broken hearts because we've given our heart to the wrong places and to the wrong people. You've experienced crush and defeat after defeat. And Jesus is like, I never intended for you to experience that. But this is kind of what happens when we devote our lives to anything else but Jesus. So in other words, if I'm devoted more to my spouse, my hobby, my job, etc., then they are my gods, not big G God, but my gods, little g, or idols, not Jesus. Like if my identity is wrapped in like what I wear and how much money I make and what's in my bank account, if my identity is shaped around that type of stuff, then I kind of see like what has gripped my heart. And God is like, I just want all of you because I gave my best. That's what we talk about in step two of the growth track, which happens right at the service. How you can continue to grow in your faith in Christ. What it means to be devoted to the Lord Jesus himself. And I would encourage you guys to stick around right after that. Second point is this, that a detoxed heart is a heart that's dependent on the Lord. Verse 6, he says, after he says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, then he says this, and do not lean on to your own understanding. And so like, it's easy for us to be like devoted to the Lord, but oftentimes, even though we're following Jesus, it is very easy for us to be distracted when we begin to stop depending on God and depend on ourselves or other people to do what, for us what only God can do. I don't know what that is for you. What are you depending on right now? You depend on people that are going to let you down. I'm not saying don't like people. Love people. But put them in their proper place. I'm not saying like fuss them out. What I mean in proper place is put them where they belong in terms of them not being on the throne of your heart. The only one who should occupy that is King Jesus. Like if I'm dependent on people for fulfillment and for joy and for satisfaction, they'll be the same ones to cause me grief, dissatisfaction, discontentment, frustration. I can't look to people to occupy the thing that only Jesus himself can occupy. I can't do that. And so if you want this year not to be a grand failure and a grand disappointment, I would encourage you to stop depending on all of these things in this world and start to depend on the Lord himself. Here's a question and how you can begin to see who you depend on the most. How much time do you spend seeking the Lord? Like when I make decisions, who do I go to first? Do I go to my spouse? Do I go to my best friend? Do I go to my husband? Do I go to my wife? Do I go to my coworker? Do I go to my boss? Do I go to my professor? Who do I go to first? Because oftentimes who I go to first shows what's first in my life, which is why we did a series a few months back called Pray First, that above all else, the first thing I should do is seek the Lord. I'm not saying don't seek wise counsel. No. Scripture tells us that plans succeed for a multitude of godly counsel. So yes, seek out the people that God has instrumentally and strategically placed in your life to give you sound, biblical, Christ-centered wisdom. But do not think that that is a substitute for seeking the Lord himself. That's what it's all about, to be fully dependent on the Lord. Last week we talked about how we should pray before we act rather than acting before we pray. I think if we did that, we would not be in half of the trouble that we oftentimes find ourselves in. Like, oftentimes, the reason why I've seen crazy things happen in my life that I believe that were not the will of God was because I acted instead of praying. Because when we pray to God, he tells us how we should go act. But when you begin to act before you pray, it's a road to disaster. Here's the good news as to why we need to be dependent on God. Because God knows what he's talking about. Simple and plain. Like, it's not that deep. God knows what he's talking about. Like, God is perfect. Like, he didn't like make a mistake when he made things. He didn't make a mistake when he made us. Not at all. Scripture talks about how his word is flawless. It is perfect. And even when people try to poke holes at God's word, it's not because God's word is wrong. It's because we have wrong thoughts about God's word. And oftentimes, we're playing catch up to what he's already said in the eternal. This is what he says in Isaiah 55. I love it. Great scripture. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. My ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. So in other words, I think here's what God is saying in the Edwin Jones translation of the Bible. You know what you need to do? Sit there, chill out. Let me drive. I know what I'm doing. You're going to wreck your life if you keep depending on yourself. This is what's going to happen. You're going to wreck yourself. Old school saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself. You're going to wreck your life if you keep depending on yourself. But depend on Jesus. I'm not saying storms won't come. I'm not saying tough times won't come. But he will always lead you to where he needs you and wants you to be. Depending on God means being satisfied in knowing that God knows best even when I don't. That's real faith. That I can trust God. God, I'm saying, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand what's happening in life right now. But you know what? You do. And I'm cool with that. Other people around you, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it? How are you going to press through? I don't know. But I know God does. And I know if I'm following him, and I know that because I'm devoted to him, and I am his child, and he is my father, I know that he has plans to prosper me, not harm me, plans to give me hope in a future. I know that all things, even bad things, work to the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I know that, I believe that, and I'm trusting in that. If God said it, that settles it. Like, I can trust in what God has said. His word is perfect. His word is gold. So just depend on it. Don't lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding is limited. And oftentimes what we do is we'll make decisions based upon what we see, and what we see is usually not even the full picture. One of the things that one of my seminary professors also had us do was to look at this picture of this iceberg. And she talked about how in class, like how we oftentimes focus what's on top of the surface, above the water. Man, that thing is huge. But then you look beneath the water level and you see how massive it is. That is not a perfect illustration of God's will, but it's kind of close. That is not a perfect illustration of how life is, but it's kind of close, because what we'll do is we'll look at the small things in life and think that it represents the totality of life. And God is saying there's so much more to that, but you can't see it, which is why you have to depend on me. That's why scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm not led by what I see, I'm led by what God has said. Which leads me to the next thing and the last thing, that a detox heart is one that is devoted to the Lord, that is dependent on the Lord. Number three, it is one that is directed by the Lord. Verse 6, he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. He will direct your paths. In all your ways, this is what he means, in all your ways acknowledge him. This means that because I'm devoted to Jesus, I'm not allowing toxic desires and other ungodly things to take up residence in my life. I am totally dependent on the Lord, which leads to me being directed by the Lord. Some of us right now, you're trying to find out what is God's will for your life right now in this season. God will show you, but you got to allow him to lead you. You got to allow him to direct you. You got to allow the toxic things to get out of your life so you can stop following those things, so that you can press into the presence of God, follow the Holy Spirit of God as he's leading you, as he's guiding you. So you want to know what job you got to take? It's not going to come just by searching like all these different websites and putting your resume online. It's not going to come by that type of stuff. Those practical things are good. Those are practical steps of faith, but that should not be primary. That is secondary. That is the follow-up to the initial, which is to seek God and to be led by him. That's what it's about. Any person that you see in scripture that was directed by God, it always got them to where God wanted them to be. Always. Maybe this is why David said this in Psalm 23. And if you've been, if you have any type of church background, even if you don't have church background, you've probably heard this like in a movie or something. But this is what it says in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. You know what a shepherd does? Leads sheep. I shall not want. You know what that means? I don't have to want for anything because I have a shepherd. Next verse. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, he leads me to where I need to be. God knows where all the green pastures are and where all the waters I need to drink from are. But if you and I are leading ourselves, we're going to end up drinking not from a pure water source, but from a wasteland. God says, I know where everything is because I made everything. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you see the trend here? God is with us. And he's directing us. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know what he's saying here? I have a purpose in you. Like when people were anointed, it means that they were anointed for a specific purpose. In Christ Jesus, you've been anointed with a particular purpose to fulfill for the glory of God, which means you're not a mistake. Like God knew exactly what he was doing when he spared you from certain things. You had a purpose that he had for your life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day. Why? I never realized this until I just read this right now. How can goodness and mercy follow me? Because I'm following the one who is goodness and mercy. I'm following the good shepherd. So I'm surrounded by his goodness and his grace. They'll follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Speaking of eternal life. So here's what David is really saying. He's saying, God is my good shepherd. He is the shepherd. He is the one who leads me. And check this out, y'all. It gets gooder. I know I just made up a word. It gets gooder. I did it on purpose. I don't want y'all to think like I'm illiterate. Let's go to John chapter 10. Here's what Jesus says. I'm the good shepherd. Oh, snap. Wow. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, like, when David writes this psalm in Psalm 23, it's like a messianic or prophetic psalm that was really paving the way for Jesus. David didn't even have a clue what he was writing. He was just under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus fulfilled that. I am the good shepherd. So in other words, this is what he's saying. When you and I follow Jesus, the good shepherd, he leads me to green pastures. He leads me to a place of joy. He leads me to a place of satisfaction, which means I don't have to find and figure things out on my own. No, let Jesus drive your life. Let Jesus direct your life. Is this helping anybody? Because y'all just looking at me like y'all dead. Is this helping? Like, this is what he wants to do in your life. He wants to lead you. He said, how long will you have to wreck your life until you let me lead? Let me lead you. I want to lead you. I'm the good shepherd. Which also means if he's saying that I'm the good shepherd, that there's also some bad shepherds out there. What are the bad shepherds? The spirit of this age. Money. Sex. Power. All these things that the world says you have to have. Anything that goes against and contrary to the will of God. Those are bad shepherds, but Jesus is the good shepherd. And here's what he does. He lays down his life for us. Following Jesus leads to a life of satisfaction and joy. Let me say it like this, that whatever consumes your heart will direct your life. So if Jesus is consuming your heart, he will direct your life. And I said this last week, Jesus is not the type where he's just going to bogart your life. He says, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. And all you got to do is open up. But Jesus, my house is a mess. I know. Just let me in. I'm going to come in and do it. HGTV all over again. You got to let me in. But Jesus, I got so much filth in my life. I got so many impurities in my life. My past is jacked. I did this. I had a baby out of wedlock. I made a mistake. I lied. I cussed. I cheated on my spouse. I got a messed up past. I can't have you come in here. And Jesus is like, why don't you let me come in so that I can make things new? That's it. Just open up the door to your heart. That's all Jesus wants us to do. Just open up the door to your heart because he wants to refresh you. He wants to make you new. And the good thing about it is this. We can be followers of Jesus and believe in what he says, but the question remains, am I going to let him lead? And I believe that some of us, like, we're followers of Christ. You've been a Christian for some years. But I think if you could be honest, and I think all of us have to be honest, there's been plenty of times in your life, maybe even recently, where you haven't been letting God lead your life. You haven't let God direct your life. And God says, how about we detox that? How about you first give me your heart? All of it. Then depend on me. Trust in my word. Trust in my understanding, not yours. And because I'm the good shepherd, Jesus says, how about you let me lead and you follow? That's why scripture calls us followers of Christ, because he's the shepherd and he leads us. And he's a good shepherd, y'all. He lays down his life for us. He laid his life down for us. Why did he do it? So that we could be in a right relationship with God. So that we could be able to call God our heavenly Father. That's what a good shepherd does. Jesus was tempted 3 times. I want to say this in closing. In Matthew 4, Luke 4, it talks about the temptations of Jesus. 3 times Jesus was tempted. He was tempted constantly to go against the will of his Father. When Jesus was on earth, he showed us perfectly how we are to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to fulfill the will of God the Father. He showed us perfectly how things are supposed to be done, which is why when we are in Christ and dwelt by his Holy Spirit, being led by his Holy Spirit, now we are able to properly fulfill the will of God. But Jesus was also tempted, which means that, hey, like, you can be a follower of Christ, and just because a door opens doesn't mean that Jesus opened up the door. Like, when Jesus was tempted, he was tempted. Let me say it like this without reading that whole passage. Jesus was tempted with things that I know for a fact, 100% without a doubt, I can say this and take it to my grave, that all of us would have failed to. Power, money, fame. Now, all of us are here like us a little bit of money. I'm not saying you love money, like, I'm not gonna go that far. But let's just be real, right? Like, that's why you got the degree, because you wanna get more money, right? Like, you keep fighting for that job, that promotion, because, I mean, money is cool. Like, and it's good when we're using it properly. It's bad when it begins to use us. Jesus was tempted with all of this power, with all of these resources, with all of this fame. Every open door that comes your way is not God's door. Like, you know, like, it's not. Like, some things that may look like they are good, really beneath the surface is a distraction. The enemy knows he can't destroy my life, but what he'll do is distract my life. He doesn't have the power to destroy it. That's God. But he can distract me. And that's oftentimes what gets us tripped up, which is why it's so important for you to constantly depend and seek the Lord through prayer and fasting so that you don't get caught up with all the distractions. I have said this plenty of times, that before we planted this church, before my wife and I heard God clearly to start and plant this church, there were so many other opportunities that looked good on the surface, but were not God. And things will come in your life that may be good, but they're not God, man. And the only way you're going to be able to discern what's good and what's God is by seeking the face of God. I think oftentimes what we call blessings of God really are temptations and traps of the enemy. Like, you do realize that when it's just like when you set a trap for a mouse, what do you do? you put some bait there. You have to put something there that's good that would draw them in. Satan does the same thing. Like, that's what he does. But when we're being led by the good shepherd, we don't have to take the bait. I can see that it's a trap a mile away. Why? Because the shepherd saw that it was a trap a mile away. And he gave me the insight. He gave me the wisdom. So because Jesus overcame temptation, now by the power of God, through the Spirit of God, I am able to do the same thing. But it all comes because I'm dependent on God. Like when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was dependent on God. He was fully devoted to his Father on earth. He was totally dependent on his Father on earth. He was totally directed by the Holy Spirit of God sent from the Father on earth. He was constantly in tune. This is why Jesus always spent so much time in prayer. Like before he started any type of major mission, he would always go to the Lord, to his Father in prayer first. Like before he sent the apostles out and before he actually set them aside to do the work that he had called them to do, you know what he did? He prayed about it. Which means that you should pray about the people that you want to be in your life. Like you should pray about your husband. Like don't just date any old person that you just meet in the street. You meet him at the store. Hey, you want to be my boo? Sure. Be awesome. I would love to be your boo. 5 months later, you got a black eye. That's not God. Not at all. Like, you don't just take every opportunity that comes your way. I trust the Lord. I'm letting him lead me and guide me, just as Jesus did while he was on earth. So here's the question I'm going to ask, because as we get ready to close, worship team, you guys can come up, and we're just going to take a moment to examine our hearts. I want to ask you this. Have you truly, fully, completely devoted your heart to God? And what I mean by that is not saying that, hey, God, I believe in you. No, 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 no. What it means to be fully devoted to the Lord means, God, I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. And I receive your forgiveness through him. That's what it means to be fully devoted to him. It doesn't mean like I come to church every week. You can have perfect attendance in the church, but have no type of attendance at all in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, none of that matters. I don't care anything about that. That will take care of itself. Once again, that's external. I want your heart, because if I get your heart, I'll get your church attendance. If I get your heart, I'll get your service. If I get your heart, I'll get your commitment. Believe it or not, if I get your heart, you'll give me your resources, because you'll realize that I gave them to you in the first place. But it all starts with our heart. And it all starts with us devoting ourselves to him. Here's what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, and this is the last scripture I'm going to read. Coming back to the heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your what? Come on, church. Believe in your what? That God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess with my mouth, believe in my heart. That because I believe in my heart, I am able to confess with my mouth. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, very transparent question I'm going to ask all of us is this. Have you devoted yourself to Christ Jesus? Have you given him your heart? Have you made a decision to trust in him? To what scripture says, to turn away from your sins, to fully devote yourself. Have you said to Jesus, Jesus, I want you to live in my heart. I want you to give me your heart. Give me a new heart. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were sent by God the Father so that I could be in a relationship with you. And if you have never prayed that prayer, and if you've never made that decision, which means you've never given him your heart fully, I want to let you do that today. I want to give you the awesome opportunity to do that today. So if that's you in your heart, and if this is true, and you examine yourself, and you're saying, I've never made a decision to follow Jesus, but today I want to do that. I want to give him my heart. I want to believe in him. I'm just going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose again so that I could have new life. I believe that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. So save me from my sins. Thank you for being my Lord. I give you my life. My life is not my own. Thank you for new life. Thank you for the new heart that you've given me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask us just to stand to our feet just for a moment. We're getting ready to go, but With every head bowed, every eye closed, just as you're standing, I just want to give us this opportunity just to cry out to God.